The White House released a report this past March on Native American voting rights. The report called on Congress to pass legislation that would increase voting accessibility. It cited multiple barriers that some Native Americans face when trying to vote, including language barriers, cultural disrespect, and outright hostility, among others. The report comes a year after President Biden issued an executive order on promoting access to voting, which included the creation of the Interagency Steering Group on Native American Voting Rights. Over the last year, the steering group met with tribal leaders and Native Americans around the country. This report is a result of those meetings. Jacqueline De Leon is an enrolled member of the Isleta Pueblo and a staff attorney for the Native American Rights Fund. Jacqueline, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Can you talk about some of the unique barriers and obstacles that Native Americans still face after, in many cases, decades of legal challenges? What are some of the biggest problems out there still today?
Sure. So I kind of think of this in two different buckets. The first bucket is the structural problems that Native Americans face across this country. Often, it's no surprise to folks that Native American reservations are remote. They're a little bit more rural. But what we're seeing is that those homes on the reservations often lack addresses. They lack access to residential mail delivery, even lacking access to residential mail delivery relative to other rural Americans. And they have poor road conditions and unfortunately, poverty. And all of those conditions make things like travel to a polling place especially hard and make voting by mail sometimes virtually impossible. And so those are sort of the structural barriers that, you know, plague Native communities that make it just technically difficult to vote. And then I think the second bucket, which you alluded to in your intro, is unfortunately we see hostility from local county poll workers, clerks, and states across the country towards Native American access. A refusal to put on-reservation polling places or registration opportunities, and a refusal to have Native American poll workers, and some outright disrespectful moves, like in South Dakota, where they insisted that Native Americans vote out of a repurposed chicken coop. So unfortunately, what we see is active discrimination against Native Americans that I think would be surprising to most Americans.
On the structural side of things, you mentioned, you know, reservations, addresses might work differently in ways that election officials or election laws in particular state might not recognize. What do you hope to see when it comes to solutions for that?
Sure. So there's a federal bill right now, the Native American Voting Rights Act, and that bill is actually bipartisan in both the House and the Senate. And what it does is it recognizes that tribes' homes across the country are not addressed, and often there's severe overcrowding. So people are moving from home to home, so may not have a permanent address, you know, a lot of couch surfing. And as a result, what NAVRA does is it allows a tribe to designate a building on the reservation that can be used to register, pick up, drop off a ballot. So just allowing folks to overcome that structural barrier. Additionally, you know, we're hoping for an increased attention by the Postal Service and increased funding. President Biden's recent budget proposal included a lot of funding for the Postal Service to increase service in underserved areas like reservations.
On the hostility side of things, some of those examples you gave of just outright, cultural hostility toward Native Americans as they engage with the voting process. In some ways, that seems like a harder problem to solve. What do you do to tackle that?
Absolutely. So I think the problem is when you think about Native American communities, often the legacy is one of folks that there's a colonized community, and then there's, you know, the descendants of colonizers. And that's a really close interaction, and there's a historical legacy of racism and hostility that occurs. And so elections are often run by local officials at that county level. And regardless of sort of larger political affiliations or trends of a state, what you see at the local level is just longstanding prejudices. And so what I think we have to do is mandate that on-reservation access to registration, early voting, and election day polling places take place. And that's something that NAVRA does. So it takes the discretion away from those local county officials who are refusing to provide on-reservation access.
We've got these two different kinds of obstacles, as you've laid it out, structural ones, things like the unrecognized addresses, the cultural ones as well. How much of an impact does this have on Native American voters' ability to vote?
Well, unfortunately, Native Americans have the largest discrepancy between eligible voters, percentage-wise, eligible voters and voters that cast a ballot. We have a really large unregistered population and a really low turnout rates in some areas. So these barriers are absolutely impacting the Native vote and unfairly, I think.
What we're talking about is happening at the federal level, this Native American Voting Rights Act. Are there things you're hoping that states do to maybe meet the needs of what might be a unique situation? What might be one thing here in Wisconsin, it might be another, say, in Alaska.
Yeah, so I mean, I think every state should look at every constituent and recognize their value and accommodate the realities of their lives. And we've seen some states take action. For example, Washington State passed its own Native American Voting Rights Act that allowed tribes to do this designating of a building. And we've seen other states make moves to pass their own Native American Voting Rights Act to sort of recognize that their state may have structural problems and then allow litigation to address that. And in all instances, I think all states should recognize tribal IDs and not require an address on those tribal IDs in order to vote.
I mentioned that interagency steering group on Native American voting rights. It sounds like at least the goal was to have a lot of voices at the table. Do you think that on the process side of things, that was successful, that the right people weighed in on some of these issues?
Well, I do think it was a really powerful report. As you say, I think there was a lot of input and outlining of actual discrimination of the different types of barriers that exist. And so I think it was a pretty good deep dive. I will also say, NARF has also done a similar report. We held a series of 9 field hearings across Indian country. And we have an almost 200-page report, Obstacles at Every Turn, Barriers to Political Participation Faced by Native Americans at vote.narf.org.
In just our last half minute or so, Jacqueline, do you think it's likely that some version of this Native American Voting Rights Act will pass anytime soon?
At the end of the day, NAVRA is bipartisan in both the House and the Senate. I think most Americans recognize that everybody deserves at least a fair shot at voting. And so I think that this legislation is distinct. The federal government also has an obligation towards Native Americans that's different than other Americans. There's a federal trust relationship, so they have a lot more leeway to pass voting rights laws. And I definitely think they should, and I definitely think that they can.
Jacqueline, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Jacqueline De Leon, an enrolled member of the Isleta Pueblo and a staff attorney with the Native American Rights Fund. She joined us for a look at the obstacles facing Native American voters and a bill in Congress aimed at tackling at least some of those obstacles.